As we were singing, I thought about the military, my years in the military. I used to go to the chapel to pray, and what I liked about it is they had kneelers because it was used for Catholics and Protestants. And sometimes when we get singing hymns like that, I wish I could just flop down the kneeler and just get on my knees and sing those songs to the Lord. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That's the first verse of scripture I ever remember reading that stuck in my mind and heart. I never consciously memorized it. It's just the day I read it, I was in such dire needs as a new believer that it immediately spoke to me, and the Lord gave me encouragement not to lose heart in the situation I was in, and He showed me a very wonderful answer to prayer. And that was one of the first experiences I recall where God used a passage and applied it to a situation and showed me His power. It's interesting in preparing for this morning, as I reflected on prayer, that verse came back to mind, and it dawned on me that 30-some years later, I still need it. And I don't think God spoke that into my heart just for that particular occasion. I think He knew that I was one who tended to lose heart, and that I was going to face things that would test me and whether I would believe Him and continue to persevere. He spake a parable to them to this end, that we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Always pray. Always pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Never stop. I think it was Spurgeon that said, pray when you feel like it. It would be a shame to waste such a marvelous impulse. Pray when you don't feel like it. It would be a shame to remain in such a sad state. Make your heart an altar upon which the sacrificial coals always glow. Make it that private place of retreat you visit always, whether for prolonged periods of intercession or a passing moment of supplication, like a Nehemiah prayer, help, Lord. And then he went on. I believe God used the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence, to begin to teach me some of the discipline of praying always. Just keeping the fire aglow so that in any given moment my heart and mind would retreat to the thought of His presence. Pray always. Pray in all circumstances. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Pray in all circumstances. Pray when your world crashes down around you. Your need is great, and He promises great comfort to those in need. Pray when your joy is full in grateful acknowledgement that God is the giver of every good thing. An incident came to mind when I was single and very sick, and alone and none to comfort. I mean, I was one sick puppy. And during that night, apart from any conscious effort, my mind was just filled with hymns of praise to God that took me through that evening, through that long, long night, where God was there, manifesting His presence and comfort in a very wonderful way. Pray in all circumstances. Pray in every place. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul concludes his exhortation to pray, I will therefore that men pray everywhere at home where you most need it, at work where you tend to forget how much you need it, in your car, at a party, at your neighbor's, at the game, in front of the TV, at your child's school. Pray everywhere. Sanctify every activity and every place with prayer. A pastor friend in New York City lives at the end of the bus line. When they accepted a call to a church there, they decided if we're going to minister in downtown New York, we're going to live there. And they ended up with an apartment at the end of the bus line. And because they're both very early risers, they were often on the first bus in the mornings and became acquainted with a couple of the drivers. And they invited the drivers to come have coffee with them one morning a week before they started their runs. And one of these drivers was a believer, one was a maybe, and a third was not. But when they found out that this pastor was a noted author and world traveler, they began to bemoan the routine and nothingness of their lives, the meaninglessness of it, just driving their bus up and down the same route day after day, and telling about all the negative side of this. And as he listened, he said, let me suggest something to you. He said, you may feel odd about this, but when you get to your bus this morning, look around and make sure nobody's watching so you won't feel embarrassed. And just say out loud, I claim this bus as a sanctuary for Jesus Christ. It's transformed their lives. It's transformed their relationships with people that ride their buses. They talk about going to work with a song in their hearts and singing praises to God and having opportunity to talk to people. It has transformed their world. Claim your home. Claim your kitchen. Claim your desk. Claim your briefcase, that airplane seat. What? Ask that this be a sanctuary for Jesus Christ. Pray in every place. Pray about everything. Philippians 4:6, have no anxiety about anything, but pray about everything. I think that's something like the Living Bible. There is no subject you cannot bring before your Heavenly Father. Pray about your disappointments, your joys, your worries, your feelings, your inadequacies, your failures, your successes, your marriage, your children, your family and friends, your world. Pray about everything. Jeannie, my wife, is a chronic worrier. Fortunately, that makes her a chronic prayer. She woke me last night sitting bolt upright in bed. We have a new baby. We are first-time grandparents this Monday night. And Beth and Lyle and baby are all home in our house. And she said, I'm so worried. What is it now, Jean? Well, they said that baby's feet were cold and blue from cold. And I don't think they're wrapping him up right. So I said, well, pray about it. And I rolled over and went back to sleep. this morning, I could tell there's lots going on in her heart. And so as we're driving to work to drop me off here, she's started just praying about all the things that are disturbing her about today. Well, I sometimes get upset that she's such a worrier. But isn't it wonderful that she turns all those into prayer? And it's ongoing about every detail, every situation, every concern. Pray about everything. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Don't lose heart. Does his answer seem long in coming? Do we wonder if it's worth the effort? Does he seem silent to your pleadings? Do you wonder if he cares sometimes? How long must you endure? Don't lose heart. We have a great high priest before the throne of God. And he lives evermore to make intercession for us. He pleads our cause with us and for us. Just a couple of days ago in my devotions in Revelation, I was in chapter 8, and in chapter 8, verse 3, and down to 5. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. I believe that this angel is Jesus Christ, our high priest. And it's interesting that he took this golden censer, which was what the high priest took to bring with the prayers of the saints. And there was given to him much incense. Our high priest offers no prayers which have not been put into his hands, but he also offers every prayer which has been entrusted to him. He offers them as one who benefits them, furthers them, as a helper to them. He mingles them with fire from the altar, enriching them with the sweet fragrance of his own sacrifice. No prayer offered to him is forgotten. All prayers are heard. In his time, all have their appropriate answer. He has given a censer with much incense, many prayers of multitudes of God's people. These must be answered, for he has promised. Our cries do not go unheeded. Be patient, therefore. Do not lose heart. I pulled down a commentary I have by a man named Sice. And here's what he has to say about this passage. Here Christ offers the prayers of the saints as the great high priest. He bears them in the golden censer and perfumes them with the precious fragrance of his own meritorious favor and righteousness, and sanctifies them with the sacred fire, and presents them upon the golden altar before the throne of the infinite Godhead. Not one of them is forgotten or lost. Those that came up when time was young, and those offered but yesterday, are all present and in hand. Jesus himself is not ashamed of them and handles them with holy care. He bears them in a heavenly vessel of gold and presents them on the highest altar in the universe. He offers them as approved and endorsed by himself, and for such acceptance that their fulfillment may no longer be delayed. He presents them now, because the fullness of time has come for them to be brought into remembrance, seeing that all things are in final readiness to execute what is to satisfy them forever. Do his answers seem long in coming? There comes a day when all the prayers of all time, of all the saints, will be cast before the Father and brought to the final fulfillment of all things in the purpose of God. No prayer is wasted or lost. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart.